You're moving. You're changing. You've done a lot of shifting already. You know, as you move through the chaos, moment by moment, hour by hour, day, week, month, to whatever time in which you play on the edges of it or pull out new realities, you'll see around you so many people in fear, so many people in terror, so many people by extreme crisis forced out of their plan, forced out of order, forced into disorientation. Now, their souls are working with them. Some people came into this reality to get their change, their shift in a kind of crash course. But they're going to need teachers. They're going to need leaders. Because they haven't done the backup, the background work. These people are coming into crises at this time. And what are they facing? But they're facing that dreadful nightmare future. And they don't know how to go any other direction. Because they don't know how to think outside the box. They don't know how to step outside of linear order and sequence. And so what do? But encounter their judgments, the limitations, the opportunities for them to bust out, to bust free. But they don't know to do it. And so sometimes they sink, many times they sink into their own darkness, which is a scary place for virtually everyone. Everyone's afraid of what lies await for them in their unconscious mind. Because it's in the unconscious mind that programs along the way are set up. You know, Falco mentioned a time bomb. That's an unconscious mechanism. Now, if you hold on to a terrifying nightmare future, you sit it on the shelf and let it serve as a reference point. Of course, you're going to attract a certain essence of the darkness. You're going to attract all the pieces of the darkness that are required to put that together. You may also, because of the way that you have been trained in your consensus growing up, unless you had a very enlightened parent, you're going to have to face your own inner darkness. Sometimes your inner pieces of your inner darkness gather together. And because of your judgments, these pieces are not friendly. They're not disposed nicely to you. They are bringers of harsh realities. The kick-ass school of growth can be quite painful. Because these people have not even entertained the idea that growth is obtainable through any other way. And so they set up time bombs for themselves. And it is in alliance with their soul. And it is, in some way or another, an opportunity for them to step free. Eventually, most of them will. But it can be like hell in the meantime. What can you do about this? You can face your own inner darkness. And learn that it is and can be safe to be there. We have mentioned before, it's in your darkness you have depth, the profundity of yourself. You have your talents, your strengths, your powers, capacities, resources from your unconscious mind. Marvelous, marvelous assets for you. And when you're not in judgment, and when you're holding the light awareness of yourself, what will you encounter in the unconscious? But you will encounter these strengths. You may first have to look at what you took in via the consensus, the dark parts of you, the victim within you, the struggling, suffering martyr within you, pieces of shadow, pieces of soul lost through hardships, crises, traumas, and shocks. You may find in that darkness tremendous reservoirs of rage and despair. You may find connections that you have made in other lifetimes and on other dimensions to the so-called forces of evil. For many of you who have gone through lifetimes, perhaps in the great mystery schools, studying the occult, you came across astral plane entities. And in your darkness, in your unconscious, you hide them. You hide your relationships with astral entities and dark limiting thought forms. Ideas that you bought into, that you believed, that you built up till they were real and held a vibration of life within you. These are part of your darkness as well as those strengths and powers and gifts. To get to your strengths and powers and gifts, first you must be able to face this terrifying part of the darkness. And when you descend into the darkness, the hero's journey, descending into the darkness and then emerging the victor. As you descend into the darkness, you must face your enemies. Your toxic ego is there. Unfinished business from various people, often your unfinished business from your parents, unfinished business from your genetic inheritance up to 7 generations back. If you had someone in your lineage who was absolutely off their rocker, you may have to encounter the fear of going mad, insane. Know that most people who are having to hit their darkness, having to face their own inner darkness, they're not well equipped to handle the acknowledgement, to handle the intensity of this type of stuff. But you are. You are because you have an idea who you are. You have resources. You have powers beyond your knowing to call upon. You can call upon your soul. You can call upon your essence of your higher self. You can call upon the divine You can call upon your unseen friends. You can call upon your spirit helpers. You can call us. You're not alone. But if you have the illusion that you are alone, that you're powerless, that you have no other possibilities or options than the descending path and spiraling into the pit's path you're on, it can be a terrifying ride. If you have no way to deal with your shadow, if you have no way to deal with your toxic ego, or even the embodiment showing up in form, in meditative form of Lucifer, the fallen angel. He's in there too. You will be absolutely horrified, terrified. And some of the people who go off the deep end, who do incredible acts of rage, just absolutely baffling, mysterious. Why would a person get a gun, drive down the street and shoot people? And when they finally realize what they're doing, the judgment upon themselves, the punishment must be made, they finish it off with self-immolation. So many times, that's what happens when a person faces their darkness. They have no idea what to do. They feel that they are evil. They feel this is them. And they cannot get to their strengths and their powers and their beauty, their love that lies underneath. So when you face your darkness, do it as a being of light, loving yourself. Call upon your friends to sustain your vibration, to sustain your light, to help you. And whatever you find there, as you did with that nightmare future, sit with it. Be with it, be present with it, and hear it, listen to it. Sometimes there's a story that it must tell. Sometimes there's a message. It's not in there for no reason, all right? It's there because it is something that needs healing, resolution. It is an energy form that is toxic, that once healed is released into you as additional energy, as additional reserves, as your strengths, as your powers. They turn into a positive so that you can, when you are ready to create a masterpiece of a life, when you're ready to dream, you descend voluntarily into your own darkness and you sit with those minions of your darkness in love of yourself, holding your light, and they will transmute. You do not have to fear astral entities, curses, and the like. Some of you have curses sitting in there waiting for certain criterion to occur for it to activate. Sometimes you call these time bombs, landmines, sudden destructions. But they're really not something to fear if you voluntarily go into the darkness and sit with it. So let us just briefly, if you're willing, let's go into the darkness so that you can feel safe on any level. You can feel safe being who you are. and that you can start to tap the reservoir, the incredible reservoir of your own personal strengths, your powers, your talents, your gifts, that resource base that came with you in your journey. This won't take long. But it can be something that you can use positively, proactively, to establish the vibration of safety, which is going to be necessary as a foundation of the new reality for you. So let yourself get settled, balanced, relaxed, and close your eyes. Draw that curtain around. Let yourself move into your own internal space. Let yourself move into the darkness you create by drawing that curtain, by closing your eyes. Sense that that light that you sense through your eyelids is disappearing. It's as if you have come to an entrance of a cave and you're walking into the cave and it is getting darker. And just let yourself be with it. Just relax with it. This is not something that is an official ritual that we must set up all sorts of frequencies for you, but something for you to access on a moment's notice if you desire. Just sensing it becoming darker. And recognize that at, like at night, when night falls, when you go to bed, how the darkness is soft and nurturing so that you can sleep. Anticipate this as well. That way. But you're going to stay awake. You're just going to go into the darker, darker darkness. And faintly, out of the corner of your eye, you sense a night sky, a black night sky, with some stars in it. Yes, we are with you. There is a cocoon around us. We want you to feel the safety of your darkness. Now, when you were a child, you might have left a light on sometimes in your room if you had a bad dream. The boogeyman. You might have looked under your bed in your closet to make sure all was safe and secure before you turned your light out. Some children did that. You see, because when you were a child, at night you would leave your body and you would travel. And you would go into the astral plane and travel through the starry sky. Like in the children's nursery rhyme, Winkin', Blinkin', and Nod. That night, traveling through the starry sky. And if you had fears, sometimes you would come across them. And your dreams would reflect it. If you had a fever, it would evoke your fears, dark energies. So let yourself just now remember when you were a child. In a sense, you were vulnerable to the darkness. You didn't feel powerful descending into the darkness. Remember that child. Let that child be with you now as you sit in the darkness that is getting darker. Feel that child sitting next to you, getting nervous, getting frightened. Reassure your child. And then you have your adolescent. Let them join you. For them, the darkness is one of being outcast, of being alone, rejected, humiliated by peers. And their dreams may reflect these kinds of symbologies as well. But once you have entered puberty, you have access to astrals. Astrals, those spirits of astral plane. They can come and scare you. They can be like ghosts, that which goes bump in the night. So feel the concern, the unsettledness, the restlessness of your adolescent self who joins you now. And then the young adult, somewhere between 19 and 24 perhaps. Let that one come too, pretending to be so full of themselves as if they knew everything, but underneath, so scared. So scared of the unknown. So scared of the darkness. So scared of being who they are, separate from the comfortable identity that they had in the past. Let that one come too. For some of you, this young adult was the one who had to take over, had to be an adult before it was time. And you had to go into your young adult as an adolescent. Maybe even as a child. You had to step into what you thought was an adult position, had to take on responsibilities due to situations in your family. Let that one come who doesn't know what it's like to be loved and free to be. And so the terror of the young adult's darkness is that somehow they will be snuffed out, that they will be overtaken, controlled, manipulated into nothing. You begin to feel discomfort yourself because you sense that presences are moving about you in the darkness. Energies moving about. What is it that you have not seen? What is it that you have not acknowledged? What is it that could sabotage you when your back is turned? It's here in the darkness, in the mysterious, unknown darkness. So, let there be a flashlight next to you. You remember when you were a child and you remember movies, or you did it yourself, you go to a campfire and tell Halloween tales. You take the flashlight and put it under your chin, facing up, so the light would be from underneath. Gave a spooky quality. Take this flashlight now and toss it in front of you. And it will land shining up. And who is going to step first into this spooky light? The light from the underground, the light from the devil? Is it Lucifer? Is it the you that got compromised and beaten and shamed? Is it the part of you or a piece of the consensus that absolutely does not care whether you live, die, or happy, or suffer? And just as soon would see your immolation and haunt you. Or perhaps your toxic ego, ready to pull the rug out from under you as soon as it's possible. As soon as you have a plan, it will pull the plan out from under you. Perhaps a piece of your shadow, a piece of pain, a person from your past to whom you gave your power and who hurt you with it. What is there? Who steps forth to represent your darkness? Let this one stand there, perhaps bestially looking, but in form. Let the light, the eerie light, shine upon them. Scary. Let yourself feel the old fears. They're not fears from now, there's fears from the past projected into your life. Just feel the fear. And this one that stands in the light moves closer to you. And in a sense sits as well, staring at you, looking at you with scary eyes, intent, focused on you. A chill goes through you, a shudder. It's cold down here in the dark. Mentally, you talk to it. You say, what do you want? Who are you? What do you have to say to me? You, the powerful reality creator that you are, sitting in your own darkness, discovering what's there. Let them speak. Or just sit with them and feel. Get a sense, get a knowing. What do you need to know? What do you need to know about this one or any others of your own darkness retinue? What is this one reflecting to you? Perhaps your shame, your pain, the rejection of the divine, that illusion that is held in the consensus? Or evil? Is it evil? Malicious intent? Taken to a depth of rage? Let yourself just feel it. Just sit with it. Put a hand out to comfort your child. Put another one out for the adolescent. Just touch them, maybe their hand. Reassure them with that touch. They're very nervous. The young adult perhaps paces nervously behind you, feeling so much anxiety, unable to sit. But you do. You sit. And you just sit with your darkness, with your scary stuff. What is it that you threaten yourself with? What is it that you do that undermines your trust of yourself as a powerful reality creator who can create beautiful realities for you? What is it that sabotages you, that betrays you? What is it? Or what are they? And to what purpose are they there? What are they called to do? Are they to punish you? Are they to send you difficult experiences? Are they to enlist you into working for the dark side? Are they evil, violent beings from other times and spaces that you were in, wanting your blood? And why? Now, this representative, there may be more than one, may show up at times, or they may change form, morphing from one to another. Just you sit there, just be with it. These parts of you have never been really heard. They're filled with pain, rage, anger, and terror. Parts that you judged separated out from you. Parts installed, implanted in you by the consensus to keep you terrorized, to keep you meek, to keep you malleable, controllable. Done through your parents or teachers or even peers. What is the purpose of them? What are they there for? In the old system, is there to rectify and right old wrongs? Are they to remind you of your guilt and your shame? There's a certain tension you may be feeling. Just stay with it. In the past, they've done some very intense things to you. Some of them are very intense, or this representative may be very intense and may feel very powerful, very authoritative. Just hold your own. Just be. What could they judge you for that you have not judged yourself for? What can they punish you for that you cannot, of your own choice, punish yourself for? Realize that they are, in a way, serving you through a twisted, distorted way. You may even feel the twists or the distortions. Now remember your assessor. Remember what it was like to be seeing yourself through the eyes of your soul as assessor. Of you, the image of you. Step there now. As the assessor, knowing your divinity, step there in your mind, in your memory, that unconditional, loving, and accepting assessor, and see yourself there. See yourself image there. See the strength that you have there. Even when you feel fear, you still have strength. You have destiny, you have mission pulling you. You will always come out and land on your feet one way or another. Love yourself from this assessor's position now. Love yourself. And now from this assessor's position, turn your attention to the representative of darkness who sits before you. And assess them. Love them. Forgive them. Have compassion on them. And watch. Watch them transform. Transmute, transform. The darkness, the scary stuff, transmutes into strengths and powers and gifts. The form that represents the darkness before you, whichever form it has ultimately become or whichever one it happens to be, of the many of them. See that form change. Watch. Bring them now, and you together. Perhaps you stand up, and they do too, and you move together and touch. It's almost as if you're making a new agreement. It is an alliance now. Feel strength from their touch coming into you. Feel the strength, the powers, the gifts of your darkness, of your depth, of your profundity of you, absorbed into you, feel yourself becoming stronger and more powerful. Until they disappear. And you're filled. The assets, the resources of your darkness. And you return to the child and to the adolescent and hold them. And your young adult, you embrace. It's safe now. It's safe for them and for you. And as you do this, the area around you becomes lighter. And you see three doors in front of you. And you seem to know instinctively what to do, and you turn to the child and you say, I have a present for you. This is a present for you, so you don't have to try and keep taking care of me, alerting me, protecting me throughout my passage. Through the chaos, I'm going on. I'm the adult. I have the resources. Behind that door is your gift. Take the child by the hand and open the door and go in the door. Close it behind you. And on the other side of the door is your child's fantasy perfect life. Safe. Loved, the perfect family, the perfect home, the perfect life, the perfect friends, beautiful angels to be with, to be loved by. It's all there. All there for the little one. And you see the smile emerge on the face. The excitement, the peace, the joy. And you say, this is for you. And you can stay here. Will you please stay here? I don't want you to have to deal with my adult life anymore. This is yours. I'll go on and I'll come visit. Do you agree to stay? With hardly a nod of the head, the child pulls free. Yeah. Runs off into this wonderful life filled with the love, the safety and security your child has always wanted. The perfect life. You smile. Wave goodbye. Turn around and go back through the door. Standing and waiting for you are the adolescent and the young adult. And you take the adolescent by the hand and say, I have a present for you too. You take them through the middle door. Close the door behind you. It's their perfect fantasy life, where they're loved and accepted and cherished and popular, where they look perfectly beautiful, wonderful. There's a mirror there. They've had the most expert plastic surgery for that ear that they don't like, or the perfect hair, the perfect nose, whatever it is. All fixed. The perfect body. All fixed. They've got it now. They dance in front of the mirror, ecstatic. They've got friends waiting, plenty of money, plenty of good things, good times to roll, plenty of opportunity to be absolutely irresponsible. They want to go and get drunk, have wild, unprotected sex. And they got the sexiest lover waiting for them. They got everything, everything they want. The perfect parents are still there. There's still parents there. They're perfect now. And they're loaded with money and can do all sorts of fun things. So give that child a money machine. Give that adolescent a little machine with levers, and you just push on the little lever and out comes $50 bills, $100 bills, infinite supply. Let them just spend it like water. Total, total abundance. Total. Everything available. Anything, anytime, anywhere. If they want to buy a yacht and spend a month cruising along France, this is Riviera, so let them do it. Make a movie in Hollywood, let them do it. Or just play and be idiotic, irresponsible, crazy and wild. Let them do it. It's all there. And you say, but there's one condition, that you stay here and you don't come into my life to try to take care of me, to warn me, to fix me, because I'm going into an unknown new reality. And I'm the adult and I've got the resources. They have a hard time even paying attention to you. They're so wrapped up in living out all their fantasies. But they agree. And they run off into their life. And you turn around and come back through the door. There's one door left, and the young adult stands there, smiling. So, do I have a present behind that door? You betcha. You take them by the hand and lead them through the door. Closing the door behind you, the young adult's perfect fantasy life, the plan. The perfect plan, the perfect order, the track of success, the track of love, the track of ultimate life for the young adult. There it is, there it all is. The fantastic success in business or the creative endeavor, the children, the family, the perfect home. The perfect mate that will never betray, never leave, never hurt or wound. The perfect cars. The perfect forms. All of it is there. Wow, says the young adult, astounded, amazing. This is it. Yes, this is it. Give them a money machine too. And say, now, do you agree to stay here in this reality, in this life, while I go and adventure through the unknown, through the chaos, to find a new reality? Sure. They look at you as if it's like Looney Tunes to go find a new reality when they got this. So with their agreement, you smile. Blow them a kiss as you go back to the door. Open the door. Step through and close the door. And now you're in the light. The light of your soul. What's your dream? What would you do if you had everything that you needed and everything you wanted? What would you do with your life? What would you do with your day? Just open to possibility and let your soul infuse you with light and love. And you notice that you are surrounded by witnesses, stars in a starry sky, sparkles of light, friendly, supportive, loving, witnessing. Let yourself open to possibility in the love. You can feel that the past is done. Those things that have haunted you from your past no longer need be there. You don't need to have the fear and the warnings and the threats anymore. You're free to dream. This dreaming, you may not have form for yet. You may not know exactly how it looks, but you know how it feels. That optimal, that beautiful light future. Open to it now. The obstacles are out of the way. The darkness is out of the way. You've been infused with your powers and your strengths, and you're ready to go. Let it percolate in there. Let possibility percolate. Percolate. You don't need to know what it is now. Just let it begin to percolate. You may feel a little tickle or tingle in your head or in some other part of your body. And then you put your attention back into your full body, sensing it coming back. Knowing that possibilities are percolating. So let yourself return gently, easily. And when you're ready, opening your eyes gently, gently. As gently as butterfly wings. Letting them open. Letting yourself come back. Letting yourself feel safe now. Safe for you to dream. It's safe for you to begin your activation, energizing, imagining of possibility. So how does that feel? Feel good? You're moving. You're flowing. You're floating in light. All right, so we'd like to address a question, if anyone would like the microphone.
Hi, Alexis. It's Kate.
Well, hello.
It's wonderful to be speaking with you, and I just love hanging out with you. It's wonderful. Thank you.
It's mutual.
Thank you. I am feeling so expanded right now. It's just, I guess, you know, like, God, can it be like this? You know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I have all these dreams and even when I get into the place of this expansive with the soul as my limitations, it's like, doesn't matter.
Yes.
Even those dreams I can give to, it's like, I can let those go too. And it's like, why would I want to let my dreams go? Well, because there's so many more possibilities that I know I can't imagine.
Right.
But I'm willing to play with the greater of me that I can't even imagine either. But it's so beautiful and free in this state.
Yes.
And it's safe. I mean, I don't feel afraid. And I know now enough about how to ground so that I can walk on the planet and negotiate life, you know? So, I don't even have a question. I mean, I have all these wonderful things I'm wanting to create and finding successes, and sometimes the successes are popping in like magic. I mean, just boom.
Mm-hmm.
And and I have those fears, and I mean, just releasing what we did today with the Bolter on the Shelf was like, okay, that's done. I don't have to, I thought I had to like honor that part of me, because I knew that was a future self that was hanging out. A homeless woman who's dying on the gurney with maggots all over the place. You know, sorry for the graphic.
That's a good one.
Yeah. It's like, okay, so I thought, well, she's got something to tell me, so I better like hang out with her and see what it's about. And so, but the process we did today was just identifying as an energy body. I mean, even if she did, I mean, I really believe I saw her once on the street. I mean, I had an encounter with a parallel life on the street one day. So I thought, well, I didn't want to, like, have her go away completely because she exists. I mean, I get that she exists. This real possibility of horrible life already exists. And I didn't feel like it was, I should let her go. You know, I shouldn't dissipate her. But we did in that process, the meditation before.
Well, you know, when you have a parallel life, and all of you have parallel lives, because at some point you made a choice this way and a choice that way, and you let go of a particular path or track you were on, but a part of you continued that as you went in a new direction. So the you that got on your spiritual path is the you that you see yourself as now. There is a you that never got on your spiritual path, that went another way.
Yeah.
It may be still alive today.
So when we did that bubble, so what happens to the parallel life?
What happens to the parallel life is if they go through a deep crisis, you can feel inexplicable sorrow out of the blue. All right? Now, guess what? Some of your parallel lives are facing the economic crisis already, much ahead of you, even if you never do hit any kind of rock bottom. They perhaps have. Or they've lost someone dear to them. they're going through some kind of travail, you may feel emotional heaviness come through you. Mm-hmm. And when something like that happens, just, you don't need to know that it's your parallel life suffering, being homeless on the street or whatever it's doing. You can just take that energy and without judging yourself, just move it through you.
Yeah.
Right? And it won't stick. But there will come a day where sometimes you will step into a new elation, a sense of freedom, a sense of relief from something dark you didn't even know you had. That can happen when a parallel life dies. And it's over. Its issue is over. Its mission is done. You, holding the light mission that you are, doesn't have anything impinging on your frequencies in the greater, expanded universe of you. Yeah, you may have other lifetimes too, but one goes. We remember one that the channel had. And when she moved away from Tennessee and the life that she would have had there, she would have married, you know, a fairly prosperous, upper middle class man in Nashville, Tennessee. She would have continued to play with the symphony, her violin, and paint some watercolors on the weekend and be part of the art guild. You know, have the PTA meetings and all that kind of stuff. Well, that self who continued to eat that diet and live that life, a very restrained, a very limited life, going to church and doing all that kind of lifestyle that she rebelled against. That life got breast cancer and died. I was terrified of dying, terrified. And so we suggested to the channel that she goes to the bedside of the one dying and get her to be straight with Jesus. So she brought Jesus in. They cleaned up their relationship. Of course, it had a significant impact on her, on the channel herself. And this other lifetime could die in peace. You may find that there is a time when you're the homeless one dies. We sense that she's been near death for a while here. She's not doing well right now. That's the reason we're bringing up this story. All right. She's about 4 to 5 months. She's very ill. She's very ill. We sense she may have maybe 2 more months tops. And then you're going to experience a freedom. What you may want to do in meditation, you may want to go and see what it is that, what is her sorrow, maybe to touch her with love. Maybe there's something that's terrifying her. Because she's resisting dying too. Very often, people on a non-spiritual path have a lot of more difficulty dying. Not always, but a lot of times. Until the very last moment. Until the very end. And then, oh, okay. And when they see on the other side and see it's okay, and it's safe, and it's loving. But you may want to go and touch her. Just sense if that's appropriate to do or not. And go be with her.
It feels like that would be a good thing.
And the reason we're saying that is because you felt inclined to go to that one.
Mm-hmm.
It might feel that like this is something that's going to do some good healing for you to allow yourself to have more freedom in the unknown right now,
yeah.
Which you could use. You're in betwixt and between. You're flying between realities right now.
Yeah, I am. Very literally.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. So the possibility is that when she goes, the freedom that you will gain, the release that you will gain, there will be a peace with it, an additional sense of peace. Because she's been kind of turbulent. Because
mm-hmm.
she's felt unloved, and she felt that certain there was somebody in specific that should have loved her and stuck by her who didn't.
Yeah.
And this just hurts in there. She just can't let it go. It's part of why she's dying. She can't handle it. She can't handle the pain. So go to her side. Now, for the rest of you, it's a rare instance when you really tune in to your parallel life dying. But if there's a period in which there's an intense darkness, you cannot explain. It comes in a wave. It doesn't seem to have a relationship to what you're going through, particularly. It's just something that seems to be puzzling, something unknown. Then check it out. Check out, maybe you have one who is going. Because you have chosen, as the light beings that you are, to make it through. But a lot of people, if you've noticed, there's a lot of people dying. There's a lot of people leaving. We don't see that you're planning to do that because you want to get over there first and play some. But for many years, some of you. But when you feel those kinds of feelings and there's a kind of a heaviness on you, like a depression for no reason, you might want to check it out.
Terrific. Thank you.
All right. Now, you're feeling expanded, yes?
Yes.
You're feeling this nice, floating, expanded feeling. Realize that you can keep that going. Do you realize that the critical ingredient for it is a recognition of who you are? This is your thread. This is the thread that takes you through the chaos and emerges you out the other side is yourself, that thread. This thread of you, the self that you are beginning to acknowledge more and more through the eyes of your soul, beginning to assess yourself as being more and more, has a tremendous amount of creative power to create opportunities and possibilities. Now, dear Kate, you're going through an experience of lots of possibilities showing up, yes?
Yes.
Right? Now, how do you make choices between these? When so much is happening and you just don't have your orientation in the old way?
Honestly, you're asking me, I don't analyze them much.
You feel it, don't you?
Yeah, I just...
And you move towards it. And you notice that when you move towards an opportunity, which is essentially a kind of flicker on the physical reality plane of a possibility. When you move towards it, are you noticing that it starts to shift and change? Some of them shift and change and morph and expand or shrink or either they start... Modulating?
Yeah, you know, I'm starting to trust more the dark force to manifest, you know, just like show up and say, hey, this isn't where you're really wanting to go here. And to even feel loved by that darker part of me. And trust it as an ally to say, you know, let's talk about this. I don't think you're going to like it going this way. On the other hand, if things are just rocking and, I mean, moving well, I'm trusting the high magician. And knowing an alliance with the lighter force, a more powerful transcendent self, and saying, you know,
right, that's that self-image,
yeah,
that your soul can see,
yeah. And I working with that every day, and noticing, you know, and it's like, okay, I'll set the day up with that, and then opportunities come up out of what I had set the day up for, and I go for them. I'm driving down the road thinking, wow, I better find a place to live here in San Rafael because of what's going on with my family. Okay. Then the next thing I see is a sign saying a cottage for rent 200 yards from the house that I, my old house, where I need to create a space. And it's like stuff like that happens. And business opportunities keep coming, and I just keep rolling with them out of setting up my day with an alliance with the more transcendent self.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's your thread. That's the way to move through the chaos. Now, we pointed out that some of these opportunities morph and change and shift. And when this happens, it's important for you to realize that it's not that some of these things that are changing because it's not right for you to go there, but they're changing because you're creating. You're not just responding.
Yeah.
You're creating.
Yeah.
Right? When you tune in, and this is true for all of you, when you tune in to this enhanced self, this self-image of you as the light being, with no judgments, when you tune into that, you are just almost automatically, almost naturally going to create magical realities that are in alignment with that level of frequency. It's just natural. So all the opportunities that pop in are going to be reflecting that frequency, except as you get closer to them, some of them will not. Some of them will shrink. Some of them will get less. Now, the reason that they're doing that is the test.
Because I have to get bigger.
That's part of it. But it's a test to see, are you going to react and respond to it, level 1, 2, or 3? Okay? Because, see, what happens is for the young adult, and this is the pattern of the young adult. The young adult sees an opportunity, dreams a dream, goes running for the opportunity falls short, and becomes less and less and less and less. But the young adult says, that came to me, and that means it's the dream, and I've got to stick with it, and it's obviously getting less and less because I'm not enough, and I'm not doing enough. So what does a young adult then do? They get very, very attached to it, get bent out of shape emotionally with it, and pulled down by it. Because they're not responding to it on level 3. They're accepting a reduced opportunity. Okay, now, the reason we bring this up is because all of you have experienced this and will experience this throughout this whole chaos period. Opportunities will arise, and there will be a sense of that the opportunities are not what they appeared to be. Most of the time, the young adult pattern has been to project a fantasy on it. And then whoever it is that's offering this partnership or this job or whoever the person is that you would deal with turns out not to be really true to their word. They become a disappointment a bit. So then what do? You think that they are, if you're in the young adult orientation, you think they are still the ticket to your dream. And so somehow or another, you've got to work with them. You understand that energy, yes?
Yeah. I mean, I've been able to manifest a beautiful relationship, and then something comes up and I get, you know, so it's up. You know, stuff is up. And I notice that if I just trust the love and know that I don't have to process him and make him get me mm-hmm. where I'm coming from, but just know, yeah, that I totally am creating this, and that's
the test.
And we're co-creating it.
The test is, are you going to go for something real for you on the level of who you are, or are you going to settle, or are you going to look for fantasy?
So who's testing?
Basically, we would say that if we would put it in a particular terminology, we would say it's the subconscious. Because see, in the past, there were times that you said, I want this, and subconscious goes in the grab bag of possibilities and throws out stuff, and you accept something that's less than what you wanted. So subconscious says, oh, okay, the choice is to settle. Okay? So you ask for something. So the subconscious says, okay, well, just go in the grab bag and throw out some possibilities. And she'll settle on something.
Yeah.
And none of them are what you're specifically asking for. They're all less than. They're all matching a self that's less than the vibration of the self for whom that what desired reality would be natural. So basically, the subconscious says, don't you want to remain a more limited self? Don't you want to see your self-image as someone who settles and make do? Hey, 2 out of 3 or 1 out of 3 or 1 out of 2 or something. Hey, you know, that's not so bad. I'll settle for that. Now, when you're a teenager or when you're in your 20s, that kind of makes sense at times. But that's not something you're going to do anymore. All right. So just be aware it's going to be offered you. And that's why some of these opportunities, some of the possibilities that show up will start to morph into something that's not quite as good and delicious and wonderful as you had expected it would be when you first saw it. And you know, when you get a new opportunity, you know that thrill that goes on in your body is like, wow! Oh, is that fantastic? The opportunity. Because who gets kicked in with that? It's your young adult. Now, your young adult is not somebody just to get rid of. You know, yes, we did the meditation, but you have to understand that the young adult has a great deal of resource integrated into you. The true spiritual adult is very valuable. You just don't want to give your power over to it. The young adult has incredible imagination and vision. Young adult can dream all sorts of great possibilities. And you want that power. You want that in you. Right? But most people, you know, they go grab the young adult. Yeah, yeah. And it feels so good to create wonderful, juicy, fabulous things. Oh, and we could do that, and we could do that, and then we could do that. And then, oh my, and it could lead to this. And you got something fantastic laid out. And you got a plan. And you're seduced by your plan, the young adult's plan. But the young adult's plan doesn't have a leg to stand on. It's just brainstorming. It's not following through. It's not manifesting anything. Young adult doesn't know about manifesting. Isn't particularly good at manifesting. It's almost a fluke when a person at 21 hits the big time. You know, so it's just It's one of those things. So it becomes a test then from your subconscious. Are you just going to give it over to the young adult to fantasize and have a really good time and feel that exhilaration and feel the high? And then you're just going to give your power away and you're going to sit back and expect it to follow through? And no, it won't. And then we're going to offer you a whole bunch of choices you can settle on. So don't take that as being a disappointing scenario. Recognize that's you just being creative. Okay?
Yeah, Alexis, that's working with people in bureaucracies who are going through these chaotic times and seeing the bureaucratic ways not working anymore. And there's so much fear of letting go of the structure. But I'm knowing a life where there isn't much structure, and I'm getting that. As much as I'm willing to continue to create, then it's just I'm moving through this. But eventually, I mean, so I guess my, you know, how first of all, how do we speak to the world that's clinging to old structures that are crumbling, and try to reassure them that, okay, well we got a tough time ahead here where the old structures are crumbling, but trust. I mean,
well, you see, they don't know what trust is.
Yeah.
Right. You can reassure them, but they'll take it as a platitude, like from a parent to a child. They won't get it. So we would suggest don't tell them stuff you know they won't be able to hear. They'll get it all mixed up. And then they'll look at you like you're loony. You just don't need any more of that hassle, right? What you want to do, though, instead, is to realize that as a person who's going to make it on the other side, shine your light, be the lighthouse. You know, say over here, look, I'm getting something. Here it's happening. I'm creating a life that has, you know, all sorts of great things in it. Look at this. Look at this. I feel safe. I feel powerful. I feel creative. I'm just having a fantastic time. Look at this. Basically, you don't even have to say anything. You just kind of radiate it. That frequency is enough to draw people to you. Just will draw people and say, what is it that she's got? I like that. You see? And same thing for you. You know, if you find someone who's making it out of the chaos, emerging in a glorious and beautiful way, you look at it and say, what have they got there? I'll take some of that too. You see? Because it's all of you are doing it together. You see? And so you're bringing a piece through. Other people are bringing their piece through. What's going on is that your inspiration at first. And then over time, people will be drawn to you and they will ask you questions. It's like, Eckhart Tolle? You know, he went and sat on a park bench. And he just sat there. And he just got into being in the now and being with himself, and eventually people would come up and have a little conversation with him. And over time, more and more would come and sit there until he had a whole crowd would be there sitting while he'd come and sit on his park bench, and a whole bunch of people would come and sit around and hear what he had to say or just sit with him. That's the kind of emergence you're doing. It's very subtle because they're going to come of their own will. They're going to come because their soul is calling them and saying, hey, look over there. They've got an answer for you. They've got an idea. They've got a possibility for you. They've got a way to stretch. They've got a way to handle this energy. There's no concern that you need to talk to people to reassure them or need to, in some way or another, okay, now let's get you all across. Mm-hmm. You won't need to do that. If you do seminars, want to do seminars, and you want to help people across, you want to coach them or whatever you want to do, as you get across, or at least as you hold your resonance consistently throughout all sorts of ups and downs in the economy and in the world and so on, you're going to start attracting people. They're going to start coming. They're going to want to know what's going on. You'll find they'll show up. If there's somebody that you need to say something to, they will be there. All right? But what you want to focus on here is that you're laying a pathway. You're blazing the trail now. And you know that that trail can be followed. The trail is loving and honoring and owning yourself. And how that expresses into your daily life. How it applies. The application. They will come. They will see it. They will come. There will be people that will follow you. You'll never know. But it's all right. Those that you want to meet, you'll meet. And there are plenty on the road with you who are also making it over. That's what this whole consciousness shift is about, the so-called 2012. You know? It's individuals like yourself making it across into the new reality, establishing a new paradigm. And then there's going to be a point where there's enough of you that you can own your part of the consensus. Hey, this is our part of the consensus. So it's available to everybody now. We're going to do some of that later too. Okay. Because, you see, you're getting rid of your old identity, which is connected to your history, to your story, to the ongoing, yada, 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 yada. You're going to connect to a new identity. And that new identity creates a new history. But it's actually future history. It's a link into your own mythology expanded, not as a, your own mythology not being a limitation, as very often it is, a story of your life that has certain key symbologies of limitation in it, but it becomes a mythology of consciousness, of ascension, as they call it, where you can access fourth and fifth dimension with a certain amount of ease, thereby applying that into your physical plane reality and manifesting very interesting realities, very positive, loving, supportive kind of realities. And that's what you're, in a sense, you want to jump over to that part, you know, but you got to go through the, you got to go through the dip. You got to descend into the darkness is what you're doing. And then you'll emerge complete and whole. So that the realities that you create, the manifestations you pull through, are going to have so much more power and presence and be grounded in the new paradigm. So until you get to that point, opportunities, jobs, practical everyday matters, dealing with money and so forth, may not overtly appear to have changed. Or they may modify, they may morph, they may shift, they may change, they may do this or that or the other. And we will get more and more into how to manage and surf the wave of uncertainty tomorrow. But you're doing really well. Can you all acknowledge how well you're doing? Even if you have these, even if earlier today that crazy future on the shelf was horrific, can you still see how well you're doing right now? Didn't you all feel freed? And in this freedom, you're going to be playing with possibility. We don't know. Does that answer your curiosity, or do you have anything else you want to discuss with that?
I think I'm good. I'm just feeling so at peace, and you've helped clarify about the young adult that I know gets pretty crazy about.
Yeah,
she gets pretty intense.
Right, you have a really intense one.
Yeah,
really, really, very creative, very creative minded. She can really take you way out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I really.
But that's just your creative ability. Just when you harness that, think of how powerful you can be.
Yeah.
You just let go of the fantasy part. Right?
Yeah, and I think I'm getting there. I mean, I think.
Yeah, you are. And the peace is actually you're feeling, in a sense, safe, number one.
Yeah.
And number two, you're feeling, in a sense, of balance with the flow, mm-hmm. with your flow. Now, you've been on a kind of an interesting roller coaster ride.
Yeah.
And up and down and up and down. Right now, you are gliding. Now, all of you can glide. You've been gliding some already today, yes? You can feel the glide? It's getting smooth. And tomorrow we'll talk more about surfing. Because there's a certain management of energies so that you can handle uncertainty, which is what scares the dickens out of most people. Is that, well, what's happening? What's going to go on? Where am I heading? What? But stay connected with soul. You're doing well.
Thank you. Then I said, okay, well, maybe there's just, I mean, I'm this kind of life where it is so uncertain, it has so much thrill in it.
Mm-hmm. You're surfing.
Yeah. So, you know, then I asked, well, maybe I should be looking at, you know, the adrenaline junkie addiction to it and questioning it, but that doesn't feel...
Well, right. Well, that addiction, that charge that comes with it, it doesn't generally tend to last forever for anyone. Because it's generally part of the young adult, which after a while the young adult doesn't want to do anything. Yeah. And a young adult's a bit lazy. They like to fantasize and imagine and stuff, but when it comes time to doing something, well, me, the prince, the princess, you know, it's like the young adult wants to, you know, head to the top of the corporation without having to go up through the ranks, you know. Because they're all about the fantasy of where adult life will lead them. You know, so you enjoy the fantasy part, which is the creativity and the brainstorming. But you'll find that there'll be a time where that energy, that buzz, that thrill, that adrenaline will calm down in the young adult. So, okay, now it's time for me to sit back. I've done enough. It's time for, you know, the world to hand over some really lot of money to me and things like that. It's time for them to come through, you know, and it's time for this person to be, you know, to follow through on what they say they're doing. You know, it's just, okay, I'll sit here. It's time for that. You know. So you don't want to let your power drain away to that one. And you won't. All right. There is a point at which, you know, even the Channel and Daniel, and they were driving around in their RV and had a fantastic time going around the country, making two loops around the country. There was a time where they said, yeah, we'd like to settle down for a little while. You know? But there's still that wanderlust under there. But yeah, let's settle down for it. It feels right to settle right now. Not to settle or, like, make a compromise, but let's just kind of stay in one place for a while and put our adventure there. And that you'll find one of the opportunities. You say, I'm going to put some energy in here and play with this a while. It may not be the perfect one. It may not take you to the perfect direction or take you to that, to the best place. But it'll be fun to work with in the meantime.
Yeah, and there really isn't a perfect one.
And well, actually, in a sense, they're all perfect at the time. When you get into them, they're perfect for you because they give you the reflection you need at the moment to get have a sense of how to hone your skills and hone your magicianship, your power, your attunements, your mastery. All of you are working in detail on your mastery. All right. Thank you, dear one.
Thank you, Galexis.
All right. So we hope that all of you kind of saw that there's a few pitfalls there, you see? And just when you're aware of them, they don't have to take over. You don't have to give power to the compromise. Very important. Stay in that perception of self and keep being aware of that. As long as your self-image is more than the compromise is, you're doing well. You're doing well. We're going to take a break for 15 minutes. And when we come back, we'll do some more conversations with individuals. And we have some more work that we'll probably be able to do with you. Do some more tinkering with your energy fields. Get you more lined and set up and so that your progress through this whole thing can be elegant. All right. So farewell for now.